Welcome to the Comic Book Rundown.
Welcome back to the Comic Book Rundown.
I'm your guest star, Ellie, and with us is our host, Joey.
Or Joe.
And the co-host, Ron.
And today we're reading The Pied Piper. Okay.
You're the host now, come on!
Alright, look, okay. The last five episodes were the last five stories in the kind of sort of arc that we're covering right now, which is not really an arc, but it's just a collection. It's in the volume 2 of the Grimm Fairy Tales trade paperback. And then our previous issues of the Grimm Fairy Tales were...
Episode 70 to
75. Let's see. The Pied Piper is the story we're covering this time.
Written and created by Ralph Tedesco and Joe Tyler.
Artwork by Randy Nunley.
Colors by Renee Stefani.
That's Gwen's sister. Or brother, I guess. Renee can be a boy or a girl. Mm-hmm. Look, anybody's name can be a boy or a girl.
Yeah, names have no gender.
And then the lettering was by the Art Monkeys. And speaking of monkeys, these monkeys are done. Joey, go ahead. Open us up.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Yes.
Good job. Actually, that was actually pretty good, guys.
I feel like that wasn't bad for my first time.
A few hiccups, but, you know.
Oh, those weren't intentional?
All right, so yeah, we start this very, very dumb issue. I did not like this issue.
No, I'm going to agree with you on that one because people are stupid.
Yeah.
But some people are more stupid than others.
Mm-hmm. And it's all over the place, too. It really is.
Yeah, okay, so basically we've got these brothers. And one of the brothers has been, embezzling money out of a company?
Yep.
And he had told his other brother about it, and he's like, you know, dude, you need, you know, just like, everything needs to chill. And he's like, well...
Chad and Neil are these brothers. Neil is a very business-like, douchebag-looking guy who's got the rat tail, ponytail thing, the earring.
90s drug villain.
Yeah, very. And Chad is a very...
He's got the clean cut look of like, you know, your middle aged.
He's dork. Not nonchalant. He's
white
very,
collar.
He's like, very white.
True, but very like, fuck. What is the word I'm thinking of?
Naive.
Naive. There we go. He's very naive. Nice. with everything going on.
He's very naive.
He's got a lot of naivety.
Chad is. He's very naive of what his brother Neil was doing. Yes, he knew he was embezzling, but not. To the what extent?
Yeah. So anyway, so
they're actually in trouble right now.
Yeah. This because there's a guy named Abrams that they work with that found out about it. That talked to like the FBI, I think is what.
Well,
he says,
the bureau.
Oh, the bureau.
So.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, the thing is, like, he was trying to play the huge sympathy card after like doing this real bad thing. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you wouldn't turn your back on your brother, would you, Chad? And yeah, the thing of like when he says like there's only one way to deal with a rat and that's to exterminate it. He does like the old like finger across the throat thing.
Right, and he's like, dude, you need to slow your fucking roll. There's got to be some other way we can take care of this. And he's like, nope, it's too late. I've already hired the dude.
Yeah, he jumped to killing so fucking quick.
Hired a hitman to kill this guy.
So he's like, just come out and get a beer with me and we'll talk about it. Mm-hmm. So they go out and he's talking about it. He's like, no, he's like, I really don't think that, you know, this is what you need to do. And he's like, how much are you paying this guy? And he says, not as much as he thinks I'm going to be paying him.
The prick upped the cost from 200 to half a million. He can go screw himself for that price. And Chad's like, well, what are you going to do? Neil says, I have a plan. Don't worry. I always have a plan, little brother.
Mm-hmm. And then so this super hot chick with dark hair and this dark, tight, it's not really a leather outfit, but it looks like it would be.
It looks like leather. But
comes walking up and she's like, hello, gentlemen. And
what's she carrying?
A red book with
gold filigree.
Yeah, huh. Hmm. And she's like, how you doing, Chad? And he's like, do I know you? And she's like, no, I'm Sella. And he's like, I'm confused. And she's like, no shit, Sherlock. And she's like, I just wanted to drop this book off for you two. Mm-hmm. And then Neil comes up and he's like, listen here, whore. We don't want your business around here.
No. Neil was actually really cool and polite. Neil's a dickhead, right?
Oh, yeah, Neil's a dickhead.
I keep getting mixed up. But Neil is a total asshole, like, you know, throwing around, gendered insults, to say
well,
the
she
least.
He calls her a whore, and he's like, go bother someone else. And she's like, oh, you are so charming, Neil.
Such
he's
a like, big, bad wolf, aren't you?
You don't know our names. Get the fuck out of here before you really see me get angry. And then she's like, okay, bye, take care, Chad.
But she leaves the book.
And he's like, man, she seemed pretty cool. What were you doing? I was totally gonna, you know. And he's like, that was a hooker, and you don't need to be playing games like that. We don't have money, because I just spent it all on a hitman.
That's not true, because he's not spending it all on the hitman.
He's like, I'm gonna try to screw this hitman out of
And then he's like, oh, she forgot her book. And then he's like, fuck you, I'm gonna go play some pool and hustle some money. These jackasses. And he's like, the Pied Piper.
Pool sharking, is that what that's called?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we pull it, so yeah, he starts up the Pied Piper book here.
Mm-hmm. And we kick back into...
This is different than the Pied Piper. I mean, it's the same with little differences. Which
Except
most
it takes
these.
Place in the same town as Tombstone. Come on, dude, it looks
oh,
like...
Oh yeah, no, it's very, very, very...
It looks like
style.
Doc Holliday and fucking White's brother sitting...
So yeah, so this tale starts out with this town. They've got a giant rat problem.
So you've got the two brothers that are basically a mirror of Neil and
Chad. And they're kind of the leaders of this town.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones that everybody kind of goes to. Yeah. I don't know. I won't say that they're ipso facto leaders, but...
So they get attacked by these rats at night.
Yep. And there's this individual, I can't remember this guy's name, but he says... I think his name was Wire or something. He says that I know this guy called the Pied Piper, and for the right price, he'll help us. And the douchebag brother...
Byron Mabry is what his name was.
Okay, thank you. The douchebag brother is like, no, we're not going to pay some swindler for matters that we can do ourselves. 500
crowns is what it says.
Well, we'll get that later.
Anyways, but there are more rats than there used to be.
Yes.
And they've decided that, you know, they're going to have to pay this Pied Piper to do the job.
Mm-hmm. So they send out the word, and the Piper comes.
A very devilish-looking man, with extremely thin arms, elvish type of ears, sharp chin.
Very elvish fits.
Mm-hmm.
And when he actually shows up, he's like, all right, so if you need my services, that means you have agreed to my terms. The younger of the two...
The good brother, we'll call him, or the better of the two brothers anyways, was like, well, you see, and then, you know, the...
The douchebag brother. Older one.
Yeah, in fact, if you can do what you say, then we have no problem with your terms.
So, sun goes down, or the Piper agrees. Sun goes down, and all of the adults are at the windows looking on, and Piper's just strolling out in the middle of the street.
Mm-hmm.
So he whips out his flute and starts playing it.
And then all the rats turn from this bloodthirsty thing to these actually kind of cute little, like...
Yeah, they really do look kind of cool, which is awesome. And then the Piper leads them out of town. Single file at that, which is kind of cool. The town's all like, all right, cool, we did it, yay, blah, 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 whatever. The next afternoon, the Piper comes back for his payment.
Give him my money.
And the douchebag brother goes to hand over the satchel of money. And the Piper's like,
were my services inadequate?
Not at all, friend. There are 200 gold crowns in that satchel. And Piper's like, there's obviously a misunderstanding. My term was 500 crowns. And, of course, the douchebag brother is like...
We can't afford 500 crowns. You did us a solid. If you come back, we can probably get you, like, 50 more in next month or so. But what the price you were asking for was absurd. And the Piper's like, well, you know, a deal's a deal, dude.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, well, I never agreed to 500. Take it or leave it. There's plenty of coinage there to last you half a lifetime. And he says, well, you drive a hard bargain, sir, but... I'll be seen.
Mm-hmm.
As I want to say this, like, I'd rather be broke and alive than dead and rich.
Right?
Like, does not do you much good to have gold crowns if you can't spend them.
That, and like right here, when he's talking to him, he's like, see, Charles, I saved ourselves a good lot of coin, and we can even keep some for our trouble.
Which is shit.
And he's like, what? You said it was for the good of the town. And he's like, yeah, it is, but it's also for the good of us. And he's like, we can tell the town that we just saved, you know, 150 or something. And the other brother's like, you know, I don't know, Nathan. That doesn't seem like a very good idea. We probably should have just, you know, done it. And he's like, no, our families don't need to worry or won't have to worry about money, and we'll be set for a long time. We deserve this.
Uh-huh. Which, if I can take a second, I've been noticing like a certain pattern in here where like a few of our other characters have been like drug along with another person. They kind of like,
apathy
well, I don't want to do this, but I guess I will. Yeah. And they've been screwed over because of that. This brother, yeah. Goldilocks especially,
mm-hmm.
where it's like important to speak
apathy
of and say
is
something
still
like,
evil.
Yeah. If you have an issue with something, like, speak up, like, I actually don't want to do this at all.
Well, but he was trying to.
Mm-hmm,
but the...
Yeah.
But he still didn't tell anybody
else. Everybody is trying to. Goldilocks, Nathan...
But they aren't putting forth the actual effort to
Charles.
Try.
Yeah.
Like right here, he should have been like, give him the fucking money, Nathan.
Yeah.
Which, I can understand, like, they have a level of trust in the other person, like the brother, their lover, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, well, I trust them. I mean, they wouldn't do anything to get me killed, right?
They wouldn't do anything to harm me.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, the way they've
but
been risking
their lives.
So, anyways,
yeah.
After they argue, you know,
yeah.
The wife is saying goodnight to the kids, and then they come to bed, and...
The Piper shows up.
Yeah.
And starts playing his flute again.
And magically charms the kids.
All the kids end up leaving. Yep. I mean, everybody knows the story of the Pied Piper.
Yep.
This one's got a bit of a twist.
Big twist.
Okay, so, you know, everybody in town finds out that their kids are missing, and then Nathan's like...
Charles. This one's Charles.
Oh, that's right.
Charles is the good brother.
That's right. Charles is like, here, just take the rest of the money to the Pied Piper, tell him we're sorry.
Yeah, gives it to that Byron guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And,
So he rides away, you know, and, Charles is like, we should have kept our word from the beginning and this would have never happened. And then Nathan's like, I won't hear any more about this.
Refusing to take responsibility.
Yeah. He's like, motherfucker, you're the one that did this. This is all on you.
Yeah.
So the kids come back.
The next morning.
Yeah, the next morning. They're
home.
And, you know, they're all excited and everything. And, after, you know, about evening time, he's out chopping wood and he hears a shriek from the house. Yeah. He hears a shriek from out of the house and he sees this rat coming running towards him. He picks up his axe, gets ready to hit him. And the wife says, no, Charles, don't hurt him. And he says, what the hell is going on? And it says, Charles, the boys, they're turning. And then his other kid comes out and he's like, help me, Papa. And he's turning into a rat.
Which is, that's actually a badass picture. Like, it's
although
awesome.
he looks more like Morpheus, or Morbius from Spider-Man.
Morbius?
Morbius. You know,
I thought it was Mobius, not Morbius.
Okay, when you said Morpheus, I was thinking like he's from the Matrix. What?
Anyways, the vampire.
Yeah.
And that was the first thing I thought of when I saw like this.
It's pretty badass. I mean, that's cool.
It looks awesome.
Yeah, it said, you know, and so the Piper returned the children to their homes, but when sundown came, every one of them turned into the monstrous vermin that the Piper was hired to rid of. Parents doomed to have their children live as rats. A most harsh penalty from the vengeful Piper for not having received his full bounty.
Mm-hmm.
So, guys, if you make a deal, live up to your deal. That's basically the moral of the story.
Yeah. We go back to the real world, and Chad is... He's having his second thoughts.
While, you know, Neil in the background is hustling some dude for money.
Yeah.
And he even says this to Neil. He's like, look, I've got a bad feeling about this. We need this whole thing. We just need to call off.
Yep.
Like,
tell the guy that we don't want the services, that, you know... Let him keep the money you've already paid him.
Yep.
I don't care. Just, I don't want any part of this. You don't need any part of this. Just call it off.
And Neil's just like, are you out of your damn mind?
Man, I'm taking care of this shit.
Yeah.
So then the next day, I think, or something like that, you got Chad sitting in his living room.
I'm not sure if it's next day or if it's...
A couple days later or something.
I don't know.
But it's at a time afterwards.
Correct.
An indeterminate amount of time.
And he gets a phone call and he answers the phone and... A voice says, I want the rest of my money, Chad. And he's like, that's not my name. And he's like, you're a Chad now, Chad.
Look at you. You're Chad now.
But anyways.
Chad's just like, you know, I wasn't involved in this
and
deal.
Now you are.
I told Neil. I told him to call it off. And the voice is like, well, you should try a little harder.
Yeah.
Oh, and I left a package for you. Go to your front door. So he goes to his front door, grabs his box.
Mm-hmm.
Opens it up.
And there is...
Two dismembered ears.
What's in the box?
What's in the box? The ears, they're Neil's. We see the earring.
Yeah.
We know it's Neil's.
It says douche on the side of the...
Yeah, well, the guy even says,
he's
like...
crying. It's,
you know, well,
why don't you check what else is in the box?
Well, hold on.
Oh.
The voice on the phone says, you see, your big brother tried to play games too. He thought he could outsmart me. So I was forced to take something of his. He just refuses to listen, so I figured he didn't need his ears.
Which... It's kind of an apt thing. He didn't even listen to his own brother when he's like,
yeah,
don't
exactly.
do this. trying to con a hitman.
And then he's like, oh, see what else is in your little gift box. So he reaches in there and pulls out his kid's jersey. And he's like, your son just loves football. And he really wants to come home and keeps asking for his mommy. And then that's
how you end that issue.
Yeah.
Fuck, man.
It's fucked up.
He definitely got fucked up.
Oh, yeah.
And so, similar to last time, we have a backup story, which I'm pretty certain these were made specifically for
the trades,
the collected editions.
I
could be
wrong.
There's not enough pages.
For an actual issue to have come out like with it.
This one might have been. This is
4 pages.
No, this is.
This is pretty good distance.
About 12 pages.
Oh hell!
Shit. anyway, but this one is called a Timepiece. It's by. Written by Joe Tyler and Ralph Tedesco. Pencils by John Toledo. Inks by Andrew Mangum.
Mangum.
Colors by Naira Fino. Leathers by Alphabet Soup's Philip Clark. And it is Sela. It's the story of Sela and how she met I'm going to say one of her husbands.
Mm-hmm. I bet you it's the only husband she took.
It's not.
Oh, fuck, I don't know.
I can tell you right now it's not.
Fuck you. Some of us haven't read four ahead, all right?
How many wives?
How many wives has Solo took?
Zero of that.
She's taken a couple people's wives.
It's got to at least be a couple.
At least maybe one friend.
So we've got Sela who... okay, let's go back to... this is taking place in what? Probably the 50s?
I think late 50s.
I'm just judging by the clothes.
Yep.
And the cars.
Yep.
So you got... And you know, she's talking to one of her students. And she says, remember, Stephanie, you always have a choice. Thank you, Miss Mathers. I'll remember. So then she's walking...
You said student. You think this was somebody she was helping?
No, I think it was like... I think she was actually a teacher.
Well, yeah, she's always been a teacher.
But I don't know.
I'm thinking this is somebody she was helping.
I don't think it was.
You know, she does have a red book in her hand.
But that's not... she doesn't have her book yet.
You can't really see the filigree or lack thereof.
Exactly.
Well,
I see a red book.
I'm not saying that, just from the dialogue alone.
Okay.
Anyway, regardless.
Yeah. Regardless. Yeah. This guy walks up to her and says, Sela Mathers? And she's like, do I know you? No, but your friend... And he looks back in this...
There was a woman standing in the shadows
and sunglasses.
Watching on,
right.
And she disappears.
Black sleeveless trench coat.
And he's like, and she says, friend, he says, well, yeah, this woman asked me to give this to you. She told me you were a teacher. And she says,
She said, I am. Did she say what her name was? She didn't say that.
And he gives, or tries to give her a silver
pocket
watch.
Well, he does give it to her.
Yeah. And she's like, well, this doesn't belong to me. And she turns around to leave. He stops her and asks her for lunch. And she's like, but I don't even know you. I don't think I can. He's like, but I have this feeling. I just, you know, we've met before and I would just like to go on a date with you. And so I was like, I suppose it could hurt to go get something to eat. And, you know, this
so
is the tale.
Lunch turns into, you know,
one
love.
Day turns into two to three. And it just, they grow close.
Mm-hmm.
And We flash forward to...
It's probably, what,
is
10 years 60s in the future?
Or 70s?
Yeah.
It's got to be 60s.
The Sunian share.
And
I don't know what that was, but...
She still, you know, looks the same way they did when they first met. He's obviously getting older. He's
mm-hmm.
aging.
Yep.
He actually looks kind of like Bluebeard in that picture right there.
Oh, a little bit.
Yeah.
Not much, but a little bit.
But, you know, and... He, you know, he asked her to marry her, and he's like, okay. And then... It's like, I would say, what, another 10, 15 years?
Something, because he's definitely
older.
Like older,
yeah, he's
grayer.
Got gray hair.
She leaves him a note basically saying that, you know, she can't be with him anymore because it's just, it's too much to explain. It's too
mm-hmm.
difficult
mm-hmm.
to...
Closet's emptied.
Yeah.
Yep. We flash another maybe 20 years and Sela comes back to, well, comes to this house to see Robert, her ex-husband.
Okay, real quick.
Mm-hmm.
See the car?
Yeah.
It's parked on stairs.
Oh, no, that's fine.
Okay.
You can do anything when you're rich.
Exactly. Okay.
Anyway.
But she goes to see Robert, and he is, what, 80? He's on his deathbed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hooked up to some sort of machines, oxygen mask.
Oxygen mask and all that good old
all
hospital
that
jazz.
Shit right before you, yeah.
And he basically says, you know, I looked for you. I searched everywhere. But I came to the realization that I would never see you again. My one wish, my dying wish, was to see you one last time.
And
but
and
I just
got it.
Yeah, he did.
And I love this line. He says, "I know that you are special," and that was like a really imagine a tough moment for him to realize.
Oh,
that,
I bet.
Still,
well, especially after what 20, maybe 20 years of searching.
Yeah.
You know, like,
but anyway, so she gives him a kiss on the forehead. He passes away, obviously, because
mm-hmm.
the next page we have, she's at his grave, his tombstone. And
she's holding the pocket watch.
Yeah.
Still.
Mm-hmm.
Still looks perfect.
And from behind her, she hears, "It's sad, isn't it?" And standing there is this fairly attractive looking redheaded woman.
Mm-hmm.
We are pretty sure it's the same one from before, which, if that's the case, it's been 40 years.
And she still looks the same.
And she hasn't cut her hair, obviously, because it's like down to, I would say, mid thigh.
Oh, yeah.
It's
very beautiful red hair. And like a silver robe, I want to say.
Actually, it's more like just
a hooded robe. Kind of.
I guess it could be, yeah.
Very
anyway,
awesome.
And she's like, you know, it's sad and unfair. Sela's like, do I even know you? She's like, no, but I know you. And I know what you're going through, although I wish I didn't. What are you? The other woman says, you know, a friend. Look, it's been a long day and I'm not in the mood for games. A long day? Don't you mean a long life.
Stella's like, I don't know what you mean. And the redhead is like, you don't have to pretend, Stella. I know who you are, and I know the pain you're feeling. A pain they can never know.
There's a couple walking by them. And she says, you know, a pain that they can never know. Things that they take for granted that make me so angry. I could do a lot.
Stella's like, there's nothing we can do. And the redhead says, that's where you're wrong. There's a lot we can do, Stella. We can teach them that the pain they feel is nothing compared to what we go through. We can teach them lessons they'll never forget. And Stella's like, all these years, I've never thought. I've always tried to help them. Isn't that what I'm supposed to do? And the redhead says, oh, dear Stella, you have so much to learn, so much that I can teach you. And lucky for us,
we have all the time in the world. Mm-hmm.
And the ending of this makes it look like they are totally a couple. Or at least...
She's just walking away with a hand on the hip. It doesn't make them a couple.
Yeah, come on. Eh.
But yeah, that's how we end.
She just wants some girl-on-girl action.
It's just like...
Apparently. But that's how we end this second volume.
An immortal lesbian couple was like the strongest thing in the universe.
Made up or wrong. What'd you guys think?
I like them. I've always liked the, you know, the Grimm Fairy Tales ones that we've read, and they've always been fun. They're good stories. Sometimes they're a little
on the nose.
Well, yeah, and sometimes there's like a little wabberjaw, and it's like, you know, they're too close in comparison from the real story to the, you know, make believe story where the person that's like in it dumb enough to not, you know, realize what's going on.
Wait till we get to The Boy Who Cried Wolf. That one's gonna be fun.
The only ones I really have an issue with are like the Pied Piper one. Like, we're in the beginning, it's like really convoluted. Like, you have to go through the few pages like a couple of times to get it.
It was annoying.
Pretty awesome. I mean, like, especially like getting these small snippets of like Stella Mather's like backstory of like in the first arc we had of like how she came into the book.
Story. it's a fun, different take on the Grimm Fairy Tales. Mm-hmm. I know we all know that the tales are supposed to be dark.
The
original tales.
Yeah, the Brothers Grimm really took them to make them darker than what they were.
Well, it's because they based them off of the tales and stories that have been around for, you know,
generations.
Yeah.
Disney, obviously, everybody knows the Disney stuff, and they did.
They made things easier, but it's like you can get the same message across without blood and gore.
But that's the thing is, though, like,
the blood and gore is what taught the message.
They changed a lot of things. Like, no, sometime read the original Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
I have no idea what that one's like.
I think we're going to get to that in the next volume. If not next volume, the one after.
Sounds.
So.
But like, like a Mulan, like the movie, where it's like they're singing like A Girl Worth Fighting For, then like they instantly cut over to like this war torn place, and like there's no bodies or anything like that. It's just like everything's burning and been destroyed, and they find like a small doll, like that belonged to a child. That tells you right there that, like, a kid was murdered, but without actually, like, showing, like, a body or any, like, bit of violence in that kind of case.
Well, yeah, because it's a Disney movie.
Yeah, but you can still get like, the same level of, like, emotion across without, like, seeing a body. But Mulan wasn't a
Grimm fairy tale.
Guys, thank you for joining me on these episodes.
Thanks for having us.
Of course. I know we'll get through the third volume here. Given how the podcast goes... Mm-hmm. We have a lot of material to cover, so we'll get to them when we get to them. We will talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to the Comic Book Rundown. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can do so on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown, or you can send your emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. We'll be back very soon with a brand new story arc.